Hey guys, how you doing? This is a new concept we're doing, and my name is Wes Avan. This here is Tyler Keith.
What's up?
This is a demo, so basically we're gonna fire it off like this. We're still under some type of name catching deal here. We've come up with a couple, but like I said, this is just a demo. And what we're gonna do basically is we're just gonna bring sports at you from every different angle. We're gonna hit you in every way possible. It's completely in your face type deal. Everything that you read on a message board or everything that you have questions about, we're gonna try to bundle that all together and throw it right at you.
We also want to interact with you guys, the people watching this. So once we come up with the name and kind of get our websites and email addresses set, we'll give that to you. And hit us up with questions, comments, whatever. We'll be glad to hear from you and answering your questions and talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, Tyler, tell them what the concept of basically I touched on what we're going to do, but tell them exactly what our main focus is and how we're going to deliver this. Is it going to be Facebook or how YouTube? I mean, how's it going to be?
Facebook, Twitter, email address, and we'll just go from there. I'm not really much into anything other than that, but as many social media websites as we can find, we'll get on as great the show grows, and we're gonna go from there. We're gonna cover from everything: UFC to golf to college football, NFL, NBA, basketball, and whatever y'all want to cover, we'll cover, and we'll have fun doing it. Hopefully, you'll have fun watching.
Yeah, I want to cover women's curling, dude. Seriously, particularly the Canadian group. But yeah, like I said, this is a whole brand new concept, and it's kind of cool that this is happening because college football is over, NFL is over.
So what he's saying is football is done for the year.
Yeah, well, what
Recruiting
I'm
is through.
saying is all the cool stuff is gone. So we're gonna try to make it seem like it never went away, because I am a recruiting junkie, and so is he.
Guilty.
Yeah, I'm also an idiot, so I'm hoping this will be a fun little concept that we have going. And let's see, we got a Twitter account, right?
Yes, let me get that for you. And this could change as the show grows, and we may come up with another name, but as of right now, it is.
Well, he's got an Android phone. It's kind of a bust, so it's gonna take a minute to find that.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's the Twitter handle is at MSVBN01. And that's, you can find us on Twitter on that and on Facebook.
Repeat it again. You said it too fast.
On Twitter, it's at MSVBN01. And on Facebook, you can find us at, you got that?
Yeah. We're waiting on your Android.
That's just got me finding all these texts.
Boost Mobile.
Yeah, of these blackberries, the crap berries.
All right, we got the Twitter account. Okay. While he's dealing with his Boost Mobile phone or whatever this is, this is gonna be great. As you know, yes, I am an Ole Miss guy, but I absolutely love sports, and I'm gonna be as fair as possible. And as you can see here, this cat is wearing a Florida Gators
With the
and
rebel hats,
Rebel
I'm
hat, so
all.
he's just confused all the way around together. And it'll be a fun time. Did you come up with the? Are we still here?
Yeah, I've got it. It's on
Oh.
Facebook. It's MSVBN Video Blog. Again, it's MSVBN Video Blog. That's on Facebook. And once we get other, we'll let you know about it.
Okay. We do have a third guy that's involved in this deal, but he's on a job site right now. He's got a real job. He does that. He's a day walker. You'll love him to death. But that's our introduction of what we got, and we'll be back here shortly with the actual show.
Enjoy.
Welcome back, guys and girls, ladies, gentlemen. We just did our intro, our demo, but now we're going to get into the meat of it. And this is, like I said, it's our test run. And basically what I'd like to do is come right at it, right off the bat. Recap of the 2015 football season, the SEC. A lot of things happened. There was a lot of preseason hype. And a lot of preseason bust.
And a lot of luck during the season for some teams.
Well, luck is basically what the game is on when it comes to certain things that happen, you know, when there is a lot of what I've said was hype and bust. And we're going to touch on that. I'd like to fire off with the – I guess we can go towards the SEC East and then we'll jump into the West. But I'd like to start off with – Florida, because you're wearing it. So let's,
same thing.
So let's talk on it. Go ahead. You have the floor, buddy.
Florida, man, what a tale of two different teams. He had a quarterback come in, light up the world, looked like Florida was going to be the team to beat. Beat a top, what, three Ole Miss team?
Yes, they did.
In Gainesville at the beginning of the year, and looked like they were going to be the team to beat, probably in the SEC.
But they weren't the preseason hype. That's the point.
No, they weren't. And I'd give that preseason hype slash flop, too. Auburn,
but well, yeah, that's our West.
With I mean, West, East, SEC. That was the flop of the SEC.
Auburn was a flop of the SEC all around. But as far as the East is concerned, I'd like to touch on this. Florida was not a preseason hyped powerhouse team. We knew coming into it what was going on. There was a lot of questions that was happening based around the Florida team, and yet they turned it on. Their defense was basically as advertised. That was the one hype of the team. And we clearly saw when you have a quarterback that had question marks around him that ultimately left the program, what happened with the team. They struggled losing their last three games in virtually blowouts at the end of the season. And that brings up Tennessee. Yeah, you Tennessee fans, brick by brick, I get it. Hey, it's a great program. Dobbs seems to be the real deal. He's also rather intelligent. The guy's working on, what is it, engineering degree?
Yeah.
Butch Jones has assembled what I would consider a 9-win program, stable within the East. And now that Kirby Smart is at Georgia. By the way, what do you think about that move in Kirby Smart? It's kind of a no-brainer in my opinion.
I don't like it personally.
What? Why?
I mean, I'd rather hire somebody that's had some head coaching experience. In my opinion, you've got to walk your way up the ladder. You can't just go from the bottom step to the top. You've got to work your way up there, or else you're going to fall. And in my honest opinion, I think Kirby Smart is going to fall. Georgia, you know, you just fired a coach that, you know, was consistently 8-9-10 win team, you know, year in, year out. And that wasn't good enough. And you're going to an unproven head coach that has not had the first day of head coaching experience. Don't think it's going to work. I mean, I could be wrong, just my opinion. I don't see it happening. Another one is South Carolina. You want to touch on South Carolina?
Yeah, before you go to South Carolina, let me make a point about Georgia, though. Let's see here. Mark was fired, but you're talking about unproven coaches. I would think that Kirby Smart is the only man in America that has not been a head coach that has three national championship rings. I'm saying that his defensive mind strategy is perfect for what Georgia was lacking. They have put up great defenses. The one thing, though, is the whole picture. Mark is a great coach. Let's just see what Georgia can do with – or Mark, I mean, what Kirby can do. Basically, I think it's all going to come down to Eason. Is he the future? My personal opinion, not bias aside, I think he stunk it up in the U.S. Army All-American game. He plays out west. They played no defense. He got into that game, played some first-tier D1 prospect defense, and got ate up. That's my assessment on that. As far as the rest of the East is concerned, you can pretty much say the pecking order is exactly the same. It will fall where you think it is. Florida, Tennessee are about to swap. I say Tennessee.
See, I disagree. I think Florida, I'm not really a Florida fan, but just reviewing, I think this is Tennessee's year. If they're going to do it, you have to do it this year.
Oh, absolutely. You have to do it. Absolutely. That, I was going to touch on that in the other segment, but you went ahead and brought it to the light. Tennessee has to do it this year because they're going to have a lot of seniors that are going to go after this year, and possibly a lot of juniors go to the draft.
Well, not only that, you got Florida coming back. They're going to be a force to reckon with.
Who's
going to
be their quarterback? Mark Greer, just he's gone. And the Greer's other gone. Quarterback is now a wide receiver.
Florida had a retro quarterback. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. He set out this year. He's supposed to be the quarterback next year. And from what I hear, just people talking about practices around Florida, is he looked better than the other two. Now, just what I'm hearing, could be wrong. I don't have any firsthand information about that. Just what I'm hearing from, you know, internet board talk. But like I said, this Tennessee's year to do it, but you could have done it this year and you failed to Florida, who had zero offense. Zero.
Tennessee lost to Florida, and here's a staggering stat. Tennessee lost to Florida and Oklahoma, I think, by a combined 8 points. 8 points.
And had leads late in those
games. 8 points.
Had leads late in both those games. Could not hold on.
All right, so basically, are you in agreement with me that Tennessee and Florida are the teams to beat in the East? What about Georgia?
We'll see about Georgia. Like, I don't think they're going to do it, but you can never count out the dogs. They always have the talent there. We'll see how good of a coach.
Coach Smart.
Kirby Smart. Excuse me. I had a brain fart there.
It's fine.
We'll see how he does. I mean, he's got the talent. If he can put any kind of game plan together, you can see the dog on top of the East this year. For some reason, I'd like to say I do not see Tennessee doing it.
We'll see, man. That's our East roundup for right now. We're going to do another segment, come back on the West. I need a beer. Thank you. Welcome back, guys, and girls, ladies, gents.
Did y'all miss us?
Probably not. We just did our intro, our demo.
Yeah.
But now we're going to get into the meat of it.
And this is, like I said, it's our
I messed up in the last segment. And basically, what I'd like to do is come right off the bat.
Anyway, we're going to
recap this, the 2000 West 15 football season.
Well, they know it anyway.
But a lot of things.
Hey, I don't have the Boost Mobile. Phone.
There was a lot of
but
preseason.
Anyway,
we're going to touch on the SEC preseason
and a lot of luck during the season.
That seemed to be centerpiece
is
and the big worry.
Basically, what the game is
all of college football
in the
certain
college playoffs. Happened, you know,
it came down
what, I
what
was
going
to
happen.
Bust.
SEC and we're going to touch on that.
Mainly with.
I'd like to fire off with.
Believe it or not, yeah.
I guess we can go towards the SEC East,
one out,
and then we'll jump into the West.
One out.
But I'd like to start off with Florida.
Well,
you're wearing it, so listen.
Thing,
so let's talk on it.
Thankfully,
go ahead,
come down to that.
Florida,
man, what a hell of a team. Quarterback come in, light up the world.
Alabama,
like
Florida,
was big. Won it
in the beat.
You took care of it.
Congratulations,
three
Ole Miss
team.
Yes, they did.
In Gainesville, beginning of the year, and next year
like they were on could be the same boat.
Team to beat, maybe not.
Probably
we'll see.
The SEC. Lack of run,
they weren't the preseason hype. That's
Henry.
No, they weren't.
And I'll give that
preseason
hype
slash flop too.
Huge guy, and apparently has some pretty good speed.
Yeah, that's our West
quarterback. Who's your quarterback?
I mean, West, East, so SEC.
You haven't had a quarterback
last
couple of
years.
You pulled one out. Out of your back end.
Auburn was a flop for the SEC
this year,
all around. But as far as the East,
I'd like to touch on this.
That's basically
Florida
the
was not
a preseason
hype
and powerhouse
team.
We knew coming into it what was going on. There was a lot of
among
questions
the top
that was happening.
Two or three coaches of all time.
His philosophy
and
is stern,
they turned
stern.
It on and it works.
They look.
You have a quarterback.
Their defense
that can manage
was basically
the ball
as heavy defense.
That was the one
and run it up your
team.
Butt and wear them
here we
down.
Go again.
And we clearly saw
Bo
when
Scarborough has not
you have a quarterback
game.
That had question marks around him that ultimately
we don't know
left the program. What happened with the team? They struggled losing their last three games.
You're not mean Heisman Trophy
and virtually blowouts at the end of the season.
All right,
and that brings up Tennessee.
Yeah,
let's Tennessee fans brick by brick. I get
Ole Miss did win.
Hey, it's a great
and Alabama.
I don't even
seems
know
to be the real deal.
We would get a playoff
guys working on what
team
is,
at that point.
Yeah,
I don't think we would.
I think that the 4th and 25,
what I would consider
later,
a
was the miracle
program
that,
stable within
that
the
NCAA
and now that
Herbal
smart
is
it
to
Georgia.
Have.
By the way,
their
what do you
perennial
think
power
that,
in the playoffs, which was Alabama, that was a gift wrapped up.
But
we've touched
like
on Alabama.
Personally.
What?
We're both in agreement. Alabama's Alabama.
Had some head coaching experience.
You forget.
Well,
no,
you
don't
ladder.
Forget.
You
know, you're recruiting a guy like me.
Up to the top.
Alabama's had, what, six top class team
smart is going
in a year in recruiting.
Georgia.
That's insane, man. That's totally insane. And for anybody else to even compete with that, they have to understand that even Alabama's third team is
going to
be loaded with 4 or 5 stars.
Don't think it's going to work.
Let's touch on the next one.
Let me
over from Alabama and Nick Saban.
Another one, he is South Carolina.
Everything I've read
and heard.
Before you go to South Carolina, let me make a point about Georgia.
And he had more than hard years, which tells me two things. I really think, and I'm not trying to get home advice, whatever.
Mark was fired.
I really think Ole Miss is
back to Nick Saban. But you're talking about unproven coaches.
I do not think he's playing to live.
I would think that Kirby Smart is the only man,
even though he is.
That has not
so
been a head coach that has 3 national championship rings.
Because how hard
I'm
worked.
Saying that his defensive
yeah,
mind strategy is
leaving's not an option.
Georgia
so leaving's not an option. He's in his 60s.
They have put up great defenses.
The
he's,
one thing,
he's,
though, is
he's
the
got
whole
a house
picture.
In Texas.
Mark is a great coach.
He's,
let's just
if he wanted to go, he would be
what
that's not
Georgia can do with
this or Mark. I mean, what Kirby can do.
Bama, we covered you.
Basically, I
let's
think
go back
that's all
to
come down
who
to
was
Easton.
Next, and that is Ole Miss.
Is he the future?
My personal opinion.
We all know that
not by his side.
Ole Miss,
I think
he's sunk it up
on the U.S.
They actually lived up to the billing.
He plays
contrary to popular belief.
He didn't.
Hugh Freeze's goal
this year was to make the Sugar Bowl.
He got into that game.
That's exactly what happened.
First tier D1 prospect defense
for this to be labeled as
that's my assessment
year is completely absurd.
As far as
I think overall, if I were
concerned, you can pretty much
Alabama
say that Ole Miss
is year.
Exactly they both get an A.
It is.
I would go Alabama A plus,
Florida
A minus.
You Tennessee are about
plus
to swap.
With losing to
I say Tennessee.
A plus.
Disagree.
With losing to a mediocre Arkansas.
Not really a Florida fan, but
yeah, I didn't give Ole Miss an A plus.
This is no.
I gave them both an A because Bama lost to Ole Miss.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. That was going to touch on the other segment, but you went ahead and brought it to the
overall.
Tennessee has to do it this year.
This is what I'd like to
because they're
going to
have a lot of seniors.
Beginning of the season
this year,
there was a lot of questions surrounding Chad Kelly.
A lot of juniors
Chad
go to the draft.
These
problems
that he's had in the past, he came in.
Who's going to be their
supposed AK-47 thing?
He's gone.
People were so worried that he could lead the team.
Florida had a retro quarterback. I can't think
of
the top of my head.
Not only did he deliver, the guy has ice for blood in his veins. He literally
better than other
I've
picks.
Seen him get pounded off this year, and
wrong.
He jumps right back up with a smile on his face.
What I'm hearing from
he's a gladiator. You know, what's your assessment on Chad Kelly this year?
He did. I said this Tennessee's year to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good
he
Lord.
Could have done
he,
this
yeah,
year.
He's failed to
he had,
Florida.
No blood in his veins.
Zero
of it.
Zero. Cool karma collector.
Tennessee lost
to
Florida.
To Alabama.
And here's a staggering stat.
How many seats they have?
Tennessee lost to Florida and Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I think by a combined
and go in there and beat an Alabama
points.
Team who end up winning
had
the
lead
championship.
Late.
No
eight
home
points.
Had
the lead
on
it
but that's history.
Could not hold on.
All right, so basically,
what is
fourth are you in agreement with
that is
that Tennessee and Florida
if you
are
told
the
me
teams to beat
season,
in the East?
Chad
Kelly's
only the Rebels.
We'll see
if they're
going to
Tuscaloosa.
I don't think they're going to do it.
You can never count dogs.
I'm a huge
on this
fan. But I try to be real,
and we'll see how good
Ole Miss does not ever have any luck in Tuscaloosa.
Coach Smart,
Kirby Smart's giving
this goes out right there. To and Sven. We'll this see is how a question
he
does. That
he's
I
got
like
the talent. He can put any kind of game plan together. You can see the dog.
Viewers, once we have our call in,
for some reason, I'd like to have
chimed in ready. And this is we'll see, man. And you name East Roundup right now. We're going to do another segment that has gone to Alabama and beat them in their fourth game. Get back.
Welcome back, guys, girls.
But overall,
ladies, gents,
Ole Miss, Alabama had a great year.
Probably not.
Let's ease on down to actually.
We're nothing to look
what
at.
What I would say was a circus.
Yeah, ride. I messed up in the last segment.
And obviously, it fits those miles.
I was thinking about Mark Reich.
But anyway, we're going to touch on
what's your assessment of this season?
West.
This season, you didn't want to say it was last. I think you've got a lot of cupcakes early.
But, hey, I don't have the boost button.
The hype.
But anyway, we're going to touch on the SEC West and
LSU schedule. Which
that seemed to be the centerpiece and the big worry for all of college football.
They still have college playoffs.
It came down to what was going to happen in the SEC West.
Mainly with the ability to load the box and dare them to throw.
Believe it or not, that was it.
It's like at Ole Miss won out last year. Memphis won out. Dared LSU to get that. LSU consistently throw the ball for their to save their lives.
That's arguable.
Ultimately cost.
You can argue whichever way
the game. Thankfully, the other teams,
Ole Miss, Texas A&M,
worked itself out pretty fine.
Saw that game film.
Alabama knew what got in and won it. LSU could not have took care of business. Congratulations.
Here's my assessment on
championship and SEC championship.
I think it boiled down to a mental
next year
deal.
Could be the same boat.
I think it boiled down to the fact that they were questioning Les Miles' ability. And the team kind of rallied around that towards the end of the year and came on strong for Les Miles.
I mean,
remember, and a lot of people forget, these are kids playing
this year,
a big man sport.
First thing about he's going to be the quarterback.
You know, we didn't hear LF is what, 19 years old? The guy's 240 pounds. People forget this.
That's what makes him
and they get very emotional.
Probably,
I think a lot of LSU
among the top
season this year,
two
like
or three
coaches of all time.
Because it's
philosophy.
Les Miles
and Stone.
Now, with that being said, I'll take
you have a quarterback that can manage the ball.
Heavy defense.
What's his name? Cameron. Is that who it is? Yeah. I don't think that they're fully capable of coaching a quarterback.
We don't.
That's yet to be seen.
They're even get close. They can't even take any place with Derrick Henry.
Well, we know. I'm just saying that's the X factor right there with the LSU is the Les circus. And
let's say the quarterback issue.
Ole Miss did win it.
Okay.
We've covered
Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU.
I don't even know
the meat and potatoes.
We would get a
the other Mississippi
playoff
team. Mississippi State
team
University.
At that point in the SEC. What's your take?
We would have.
Mississippi I think that, I mean, that the 4th and 25, line, you know, which we're going to touch on later,
they had a great season.
Was
they
the miracle
they really did.
That,
I know
that the NCAA and the college football world wanted to have
but, I mean,
their perennial power
like
in the playoffs, which was Alabama.
Said,
that was a gift wrapped up.
That would have been great.
We've touched on Alabama.
Even Ole Miss. The fact that
we're both in agreement, Alabama's Alabama.
Or not even back,
you forget. Well, no, you don't forget. You know, you're a recruiting guy like me.
I can't even think of words.
Alabama's had what six in a year? Six times class
like
team in a year in recruiting.
Again, good for the
that's insane. Man. That's totally insane. And for anybody else to compete with that,
and lost Ole Miss,
they have to understand that even Alabama's third team is going to be loaded with four and five
offensive line,
but. Let's touch on the next one.
We're able to get pressure without Saban
blitzing.
He,
they could sit back
and
have
read and heard. Nick Saban recruited his tail.
If y'all had any kind of offensive line,
and he hadn't worked that hard in years, which
tells me two things.
I really think – I'm not trying to be a homer, but
he has a higher ceiling.
I really think
Ole Miss
has got
offensive line.
And two, I do not think he's planning to have an actual run anytime soon.
You could have
even Nick Saban, even though he is 9, 10,
even maybe 11 –
competitive season game,
everything he does,
I don't see him leaving because how hard he worked.
My take is this: it's very simple.
Wrong.
It comes down to not just the offense.
Leaving's not an option.
Leaving's not an option. He's
Josh
in his 60s. He's not going anywhere.
The rock in the team, the rock of the team from Mississippi State University.
He's got a house
last
Texas.
Year.
He's,
in my opinion,
he's,
was Josh Robinson.
If he wanted to go,
that guy is
go.
A man child.
That's not even
a lot of people seem to forget
that
Bama. We covered.
They have to place blame somewhere, and nobody mentions the fact there is a blinding spot missing, and that's Josh Robinson. Josh Robinson had been there this year, I think that they would probably
Ole Miss the preseason hype.
Maybe, but again, without an offensive
they line, actually lived up to the billing. Contrary to popular belief,
Alabama,
Hugh Freeze's goal this year was to make the Sugar Bowl.
Prescott,
that's exactly what happened. And he won it.
If that's all it takes
for this to be labeled as a letdown,
this brings up an interesting point that we'll put in the other segment. We talk about recruiting.
I think overall, I really want to touch on this offensive line.
Alabama and
Ole Miss's year.
Okay, we covered that.
And a
great season, Mississippi State. Props to you. We've covered the Big Four. Now this is where it gets interesting.
A+ with losing
Tyler and I were talking in the off segment.
I didn't give Ole Miss an A+.
The bottom
I gave them here
an A
of who had the worst bus season.
Well, I'm gonna have to go with the least of the bus seasons,
but that's Arkansas.
Overall. This is what I'd like to touch on.
I don't even know where to go.
Beginning
with that
of the
one.
Season.
So, Tyler, there was lead a lot us off questions surrounding Chad Kelly.
Arkansas started off slow.
Chad had
really
these problems.
I don't know how many of you
that he's had in the
Arkansas
past. He came
statement.
In.
I was actually
listening
to
the AK-47 thing.
And
people
Oxford.
Were so worried.
And
was he going
to
lead the team?
Back and forth,
that was
back
the big
forth.
Question mark. Well, he
lost it. On a block.
Not only did he deliver, the guy has
ice
for blood. In his veins. He literally,
somehow y'all
I've seen him get pounded on this year, and he jumps right back up
season,
and smiles.
You're
his
in
face.
For a fun, fun ride.
He's a gladiator. What's your assessment
on
Chad Kelly?
You'll be young.
Oh, he
lost your running back this year. He lost his
tight end.
Lost
tight end was huge.
But yeah, he's that one back.
Tight end was the fourth of 25.
I'm pretty sure of it. Cool, Colin. Like you got the little Allen coming in as your quarterback.
You go to Alabama,
going to replace your running back.
He's about 100,000.
Am I correct on that?
He's,
yeah.
Billimus always going to go in there
and
beat
so
an Alabama
team. I
don't think the running
back
winning take that much
championship
of a hit
on their home
and
turf when Ole Miss
has
had
an adequate quarterback play on
its history.
Decent team
in what is fourth game?
That's my assessment, basically.
If you would have told me before the season, Chad Kelly's going to leave the Rebels.
They
would have died in Tuscaloosa.
And my X factor for this team is their quarterback.
Fan,
the quarterback for Arkansas came
does
on
not have ever
he,
any luck.
He kind of reminded me a little bit of Paxton Lynch.
This goes out
to his mindset.
This is a question
he was willing to ask.
He showed me his NFL talent very
viewers
quickly.
Viewers, once we have our call in.
Throughout
Bill
the season, it wasn't just the Ole Miss game.
And this
put
is
up
question
the Atari-like numbers.
Can you name me one first-year
yeah,
starting
he's
quarterback
just an incredible
that has gone
quarterback
into and unfortunately,
and
Arkansas loses
in their fourth game.
And I'm not going to make any predictions right now,
but
overall,
I would have to
Ole Miss
give
Arkansas
Alabama
had a
C
year
this year.
Let's ease on down to actually
C or C plus.
What I would say,
you know, we didn't even give
a
Mississippi State
ride.
A rating. I would give them
and,
a B plus.
Obviously,
I give
it fits
a B. They had a good year. Like I said, you could.
And we didn't give LSU.
LSU.
A rating. What's your assessment on
LSU
this season?
LSU, I do a C plus. This season, I think it's me.
C minus.
I think you got
that's
a bunch of tough kids.
They're borderline D.
Four national. Be shot at the hype's going to be there.
We already did on the state. We go. Yeah, I gave my A. You gave my A plus.
Which
pretty
sorry.
No,
no,
no. It's fine. It's fine. Okay, so basically, Arkansas had
two games,
I gave
even
C minus. You gave C. They still have
I say C plus. They do have LL. If you can't pass,
that's a B plus.
An easy season.
Okay, now the road ahead for Arkansas is going
to
be the biggest question mark in the entire SEC because they lose all of their primary targets. And we will touch on that later. Okay, let's go next. And this is the toss up here.
Ultimately, cost them the game.
Which had a worse season? Was it A&M?
Arkansas,
or Auburn.
Saw that game.
Tyler thinks one thing. I think another thing. But we also think the same
here's
thing.
My assessment.
So we're going to cover both of them at the same time because
I
think
it boiled down to
the mental of
the
SEC in the 2015.
I think it boiled down to the fact
I don't think
that they were questioning Les Miles' ability.
I really don't. You
no.
lose two.
And they don't even know.
Quarterback.
Their athletic director
and the team kind of rallied around that towards the end of
the
year and came on strong for Les Miles.
Yeah.
Then that's true. Well, not true. Then true.
You gotta remember, a lot of
think
people forget
what's
these,
really
these
going
are kids playing.
Auburn, on the other hand,
a big man
all
sport.
This passing height. You know,
there's no excuse for
is
Auburn.
What 19 years old
has
guys
230, 240 pounds. People
I will give it to
Auburn.
This.
They had a debacle,
and they get very emotional.
The wide receiver situation.
and season this year, like I said, like circus ride because Quan Treadwell in the middle of the season. Well, not quite.
Now, with that being said, I'll take a lot of Chris.
Auburn really didn't have to agree with
receiving backup on it.
What's his name?
Their defense.
Cameron.
Is that who
Carl
it is?
Lawson yeah. being
I don't think that they're fully capable that of coaching a quarterback.
I think
that's
it's
yet to be seen.
Auburn's
their aura, how they felt as a team.
Well, we know.
I'm just
like
saying that's the X factor right there. The LSU is the Les Miles Circus.
His bill. He was a preseason candidate.
No,
the
quarterback
issue.
One bit at all.
Okay, that's the reason I
covered Bama, Ole Miss, LSU. Now let's get into
A&M
meat and potatoes.
Or did Auburn,
the other Mississippi team.
If you can learn anything about this,
you can learn
to
put all of your eggs into one basket, which is what A&M did,
and
they had a great season.
They put their eggs into that one basket with wide receiver and the defensive end, and absolutely demolished their morale.
But, I mean, Matt, on Auburn, what, 5 years ago, if you said –
Hey, they have one hell of a pretty class, though. We'll get that later.
They always do. For State
but if they don't have, you know, the fact that Dan Mullen has
season
role,
to season, I say them looking back, for a coach this
or
next
not back, but
off season.
To the
same
oh,
level.
I think
both could be looking for coaches.
I can't even think of the word next year.
I have said –
It's good for the State.
And I have said
that
I'm giving Auburn –
You
know, 2 years with
again,
us.
Good for the college.
I don't give him two. If he don't win,
a lot of people
win more than eight
Dan
games,
Mullen,
he's gone.
He had
one bad year.
Okay, well, let's fast forward.
I mean, you know, he had a great year.
What happens if
the one that really cost y'all is
Miles doesn't win eight or nine games a season?
Teams that beat
from all reports down
to
Baton Rouge,
we're able to get
pressure
without, you know, reporting to me daily, sit back and let Miles debacle Dak to practice.
That he
begged and pleaded for his job.
And if y'all had any kind of more year, he'd score up and down.
He'd retire for this next season.
Again,
whether that's true or not,
I don't know. That's to be seen.
He had a higher ceiling.
But if you could,
you know
that offensive line,
that's what saved his job.
They passed.
And
when Jimbo came back and said no
during the
third quarter of the Texas A&M game,
you know,
that's
nine,
when they
10,
decided
maybe 11
that regular season,
you know, Les would be back.
Plus your bowl game.
Les holds all the chips in this to me.
My take is this. It's very simple. It comes down to not just the offensive line. It's one person.
LSU administration right now.
Josh Robinson.
He does. Well, the rock of the team from Mississippi State University success last year.
Well, we've touched on the SEC.
In my opinion, was Josh Robinson.
That guy is a man.
Right now, we're going to go on
a lot
break
of people seem to
we get
back
that
we're going to throw in a little prediction.
They have to place blame
recruiting.
Somewhere.
This is going to be the fun stuff for us right here.
Well,
you guys take it easy.
Missing
see
it's Josh Robinson.
If Josh Robinson had been there this year, I think that they would probably won another game or so.
Maybe, but again, without an offensive line, he's on block for him. I mean, like I said, Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M were able to get pressure on Dak Prescott without blitzing. And in the SEC, if that's all it takes is three or four guys get pressure on your quarterback, you're not going to do too well.
This brings up an interesting point that we'll put in the other segment. We talk about recruiting, but I really want to touch on this offensive line at Mississippi State University. Okay, we covered that. Great season, Mississippi State. Props to you. We've covered the Big Four. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Tyler and I were talking in the off segment. The bottom three here of who had the worst bust season. Well, I'm going to have to go with the least of the bust seasons, and that's Arkansas. I don't even know where to go with that one. So, Tyler, lead us off once again with that.
Arkansas started off slow, ended up really hot. I don't know how many of you all actually watched the Arkansas versus Mississippi State game. I was actually listening to it on the way home from visiting Oxford. And I would have loved to watch it. It was back and forth, back and forth. And I think Arkansas lost it on a blocked field goal. If they would have hit that field goal, I think they would have finished the season on a 4 or 5 game win streak.
Absolutely.
If somehow Arkansas can figure out how to get the motor going a little bit earlier in the season, you're in for a fun ride because they've got all the pieces. They'll be young. They lost their running back this year. Lost their tight end. Lost their quarterback.
Tight end was huge.
It was. But they had one back.
Tight end was the 4th and 25. We'll touch on that later.
But you got Little Allen coming in as your quarterback, and I don't know if he's going to replace your running back and or tight end. But Billum is always going to have a great offensive line, so I don't think the running game is going to take that much of a hit. And if you can get adequate quarterback play, Arkansas should be a decent team again. Wes?
That's my assessment, basically. I always have an X factor for each team. And my X factor for this team is their quarterback. The quarterback for Arkansas came on hot. He he kind of reminded me a little bit of Paxton Lynch from Memphis and his mindset of how he was a bulldog. He showed me his NFL talent very quickly throughout the season. It wasn't just the Ole Miss game when he put up the Atari-like numbers.
I mean, even the state game, like I just mentioned.
Yeah, he's just an incredible quarterback. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Arkansas loses him. And I'm not going to make any predictions right now, but overall, I would have to give Arkansas a C this year.
I agree with that. I'd go C or C plus for Arkansas.
You know, we didn't even give Mississippi State a rating. I would give them a B plus.
I'd give them a B. They had a good year. Like I said, you could
And we didn't give LSU a rating, for that matter.
LSU, I'd do a C plus. Man.
C minus. That's my they're borderline D with me, but
what about Ole Miss? You know,
We already did Ole Miss and State. I gave them an A, you gave them an A plus. That's right.
I'm sorry. I forget things.
No. It's fine. Okay, so basically Arkansas I gave them a C minus, you gave them a C.
I say C plus. So they can figure out how to get going earlier in the season. That's a B plus easy season.
Okay, now the road ahead for Arkansas is going to be the biggest question mark in the entire SEC because they lose all of their primary targets. And we will touch on that later. Okay, let's go next. And this is the toss up here. Which had a worse season? Was it A&M or Auburn? Tyler thinks one thing, I think another thing, but we also think the same thing. So we're going to cover both of them at the same time because I both think they are at the bottom of the SEC in the 2015 cycle.
But I don't think anybody really knows what's going on with Texas A&M. I really don't.
They don't even know. Their athletic director doesn't even know.
There was a rumor going around, there's all season that the coach was about to be fired.
Yeah.
Then that's true, then not true, then true. I don't think anybody knows what's really going on. Auburn, on the other hand, you know, all this preseason hype, you know.
There's no excuse for Auburn. A&M has every excuse in the world, but I will give it to Auburn. They had a debacle with the wide receiver situation, and that was big. That would be like Ole Miss losing Laquon Treadwell in the middle of the season. Well, not quite, because Ole Miss has other wide receivers, but Auburn really didn't have another wide receiver to back up on. And their defense, Carl Lawson being gone, killed that defense. And, you know, I think it just murdered Auburn's, their aura, how they felt as a team. I mean, it's almost like they gave up.
Jeremy Johnson didn't live to his billing. He was a preseason candidate.
No, he lived his billing one bit at all. That's the reason I cannot figure for the life of me which one is worse. Did A&M or did Auburn have a worse season? If you can learn anything about this, you can learn not to put all of your eggs into one basket, which is what A&M did and Auburn did. They put their eggs into that one basket with the wide receiver and the defensive end and absolutely demolished their morale.
Matt, on Auburn,
they have one hell of a recruiting class, though. We'll get in that later.
But they always do. But if they don't have, you know, a 9 or 10 win season this season, I could see them looking for a coach this next offseason. Both could be looking for coaches this time next year.
I have said that I'm giving Auburn 2 years with Gus.
I don't give him two. If he don't win more than 8 games, he's gone from what I understand.
Okay, well, let's fast forward. What happens if Miles doesn't win 8 or 9 games this season?
Well, from all the reports down at Baton Rouge, and I've got friends down there that, you know, reported to me daily during the last Miles debacle, that he begged and pleaded for his job to catch one more year, and he swore up and down he'd retire for this next season. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. That's to be foreseen. But if, you know, that's what saved his job. I mean, heck, when Jimbo came back and said no during the third quarter of the Texas A&M game, that's when they decided that, you know, Les would be back. Les holds all the chips in this to me.
Les is the circus show. That's what I'm telling you.
He holds all the chips. I mean, he's got one up on the LSU administration right now.
And he does. Well, he brings in a lot of money just off of him as coaching. Well, look, we've touched on the SEC West. We've touched on the East. Right now, we're going to go on a break. And when we come back, we're going to throw in a little predictions and a little bit of recruiting. This is going to be the fun stuff for us right here.
Oh, yeah.
You guys take it easy. We'll see you in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed our segment this far, being that it's our demo, and we've been touching on several things. What do you think about it so far?
I've actually enjoyed doing it. I hope you have, too, and I hope we can do this more of these, because I can talk about sports all day long, and hopefully y'all like looking at our ugly faces and listening to these horrible voices of ours, but it's fun for me, and hopefully it's fun for y'all, too.
Well, hopefully they're not going to have an option, because we're going to keep bringing them to them.
Let's do it.
That's the point. All right, so 2016 recruiting and predictions. We're going to start off. Recruiting is this year was a wild ride. A lot of rumors. I've noticed that since the 2013 cycle, that social media has played an intricate part into recruiting. And if you're an old school coach, you got to hire some new young blood talent recruiting and assistant coaches that actually know how to pick up their cell phone and start a Twitter feed or a Facebook, whatever it is. We're actually still dealing right now, and signing week was last week. We're still dealing with some talent out there, such as Congbo, who hasn't signed. And the only reason anybody even knows about this is because of social media. So, let's jump right into it. The big stories, Rashawn Gary.
Michigan. He was Michigan all the way.
Yeah.
His mom was stuck on Michigan. Ole Miss tried, Clemson tried, Auburn tried. Alabama tried to get the game late. His mom was just stuck on Michigan for whatever reason. I guess it was that Michigan education that – the Michigan AD, you know, hinted that was the final straw for him to go to Michigan.
Well, like I said, in defensive to all the Rashawn Gary lovers out there, if that was the case, he would have gone to Stanford. But
or Vanderbilt. You can play in the SEC and get a great education at Vanderbilt.
Right. There's more to it than that. But more props to him in the Harbaugh deal. I don't know if Harbaugh had a spend-the-night party with him or what, but it worked out in their favor. That was the big target, and he's Michigan bound. He's not in the SEC. So let's go. Let's go on forward. There's three big stories I would like to touch on this year with a fourth. I'd like to touch on Alabama, their recruiting. And Texas came from the 30s to they launched
top
in
10.
Top 10 in recruiting.
Great job by them. Great close by them.
Overnight with a horrible year. I mean, it was okay. I mean, I guess Oklahoma winning, them beating Oklahoma, that was a big deal.
And Baylor. They beat Baylor, too, knocked them out of the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, they did that. They did that for sure.
And that ties back to the SEC because Ole Miss would have played Baylor in the Sugar Bowl instead of Oklahoma State. So there's that ties back to the SEC, which is what we're talking about today, SEC.
So there you go. Texas, Alabama, which was had a great recruiting year, but it came on really, really weird at the end of the season. It's very uncanny for Nick Saban to show up at airports to meet recruits before they're flying
to Ole Miss.
To Ole Miss. That's something I haven't ever seen before, and this is the reason I want to touch on it. When I was talking about social media and phones and whatnot, the reason I'm bringing it up is because it makes coaches go into desperation mode in recruiting. 4 years ago, if I were to tell you that Nick Saban was going, he was saw at an airport
in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, cutting off recruits flying into Mississippi, you would have said I was crazy.
But we still do, but yes, I would have.
Yeah, that's the thing here. Recruiting has gone to a whole nother level. Now let's touch on what has happened here.
Well, I want to make this what touch back to my point from earlier in the show about Nick Saban, Ole Miss getting under Nick Saban's skin. This is my whole point. Nick Saban recruited Mississippi very hard on a lot of Ole Miss targets. And when one he was talking about would sign with Alabama, but Alabama the morning this player was supposed to be flying into Memphis to drive through Oxford to visit Ole Miss.
Was it Hall?
Yes, it was Hall. It was Terrell Hall, defensive end, 5-star. I think he was the number one defensive end in the nation. Nick Saban got early to meet his family to
Hall was a tight end.
No, he was a defensive end. Meet his family at the airport before he flew out to Ole Miss to try to convince him not to go. Every source I had said, if we get Hall on campus, Ole Miss has a legit shot to sign him. Apparently, Nick Saban thought the same thing. And like I said earlier, two things I noticed from Nick Saban this recruiting season, that he recruited his tail off for the first time in years. And he was in a lot of Mississippi kids, and we'll get to that a little bit more in depth later on. But he went after Ole Miss targets and Mississippi State targets. So Mississippi teams, you've done a great job of kind of disturbing the upper echelon of the SEC. Great job, State. Great job, Ole Miss. Let's keep it up. And let's actually stir the SEC up and make it fun again instead of these same old teams fighting for it.
This is my final say on the Nick Saban theory on what he did. I'm not taking anything away from the University of Alabama. I want to give it all credit to where it's due. It's to the Mississippi high school sports in general. Our talent in Mississippi has gone up. And it may be that he's trying to stop them from coming to us so he can get them or, you know, anywhere else. But the bottom line is our talent is awesome. You know, we can get into that. And actually, we're going to jump right into it right now. We're going to go with, let's look at the big one that started off from day one, which was A.J. Brown. That was a huge target. And he went to Ole Miss, and that was in the backyard of Mississippi State University. Can you tell us why and how this even happened? And I know, in my theory, I think it's a lot to do with Hugh Freeze's system and Shea Patterson, but there has been rumors there is other reasons that A.J. Brown selectively chose the University of Mississippi.
I mean, I don't know the exact reason. I've heard several different things why. But the one thing I can point to and rest assured that it played a huge factor in his decision, Mississippi State doesn't have a quarterback. Dak is gone. Alabama doesn't have a quarterback. There's your gone. Ole Miss has signed the number one quarterback in America, Shea Patterson, and still has Chad Kelly on campus. And he also has other big-time wide receivers on campus, so he will not get double-teamed. Alabama has one, State has none. Their big-time targets went to the NFL. Played a big role in it, and I've also heard that the Mississippi State coaches didn't recruit him. He just didn't feel the love from State coaches, which is sad because Starkville High School is not 5, maybe 10 minutes down the road from the Mississippi State campus. And if your coaches can't get up and go, you know, visit that far down the road, that doesn't bode well. Let this lead into Jeffrey Simmons. They recruited the heck out of him and landed him, so congrats to them on that. Apparently did what they needed to do to get him. And they also lost Scott Lashley to Alabama, which is, again, another Golden Triangle kid that State had pretty much in their backyard that let go. I talked about their offensive line earlier in the show, and their offensive line recruiting class was par at best. Average, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be too proud of it, but that's just me. But they've got to get a quarterback. They've got to get offensive line. They've got a lot of work to do to keep their win totals up, and this recruiting class didn't help that at all.
Well, there are people out there that would disagree with your assessment, but it's a fairly nice assessment. You know, like I said, that – It's amazing what social media has done for recruiting. We all knew that Nigel Knight was going to Alabama with that Bleacher Report video that came out, but Alabama failed to tell him that they were going to pop him with a gray shirt.
Well, see, that's another one State let, and Ole Miss did also let get out of state. He's a 4-star cornerback, which both teams need, and they let him go to Alabama.
Well, hey. Let's bring up this, King Kongbo. This cat here is a 5-star by Rivals, 4-star across the board. JUCO, number one defensive end, JUCO talent-wise. in America. As of today, it's February 9th. Signing day was on the 3rd. He still hasn't signed. His parents do not want him to go to UT. I personally, I think that they're going to give in. It's just, if your child wants to go to Tennessee or wherever they want to go, you sign and let them go. So ultimately, I think Congbo is going to go. What do you think? Do you think that this similar situation that his parents – that's what I'm hearing, though.
Yeah, I'm hearing nothing but his parents want Ole Miss.
Might I add, all of us are hearing through social media.
Well, I've got actual people tell me something that are connected to some way the coaching staff. I'm not going to say in the exact way because I don't give away my sources. But, yeah, that the parents want him at Ole Miss, but – apparently he is just dead set on, Tennessee. If I was his parent, I would want my kid somewhere he would, you know, want to go. I don't know why the parents are so against Tennessee. I don't know their family, how their family works or anything. But I would let my kid go to Tennessee. And I think Wes would also, if he had a son, say, Dad, I want to go here.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Wherever my, you know, if I had a child, wherever they would want, if they were capable of going, I would support them 100%. You know, shy of going to Marshall or something like that. But, jokingly. But, look, we could literally sit here and touch on all the SEC teams. We briefly went on recruiting and over Bama, Ole Miss, and State, and a little bit of Texas and Michigan. That's a whole nother hour-long segment. When it comes to recruiting.
And we will get to it. I promise you that.
Yeah, that's actually, we have a whole off season to do this, and we're gonna give it to you each person breakdown. But I want to get into something that is going to be pretty awesome, you know, and that's the predictions. And football, that is, because we got baseball coming up. We're right here close.
It's under 2 weeks.
Man, I can't wait for that. But SEC East, what do you see in the pecking order?
I see a jumble between Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida. And then it's a coin flip for Kentucky and Vanderbilt at the bottom. Missouri. I've totally forgotten Missouri. It's not really competitive anymore. They won the East twice, and they really fell off the
They don't even have a coach or quarterback now.
So, I think Missouri's very bottom, coin flip, Kentucky, Vanderbilt. And then if you stuck a gun in my head, and this will probably change before the season starts, I would go Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, then Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri. You're saying Tennessee.
I'm not on this Tennessee bandwagon.
I'm not either.
No, I'm not on a Tennessee bandwagon. But I'm telling you that they are going to take the East. This is my prediction. It all falls on Dobbs. If Dobbs stays healthy with that system, I see him taking the East.
See, I think,
and I'm not buying into the Tennessee brick by brick thing. I'm just stating that I'm looking at it from a factual, statistical standpoint.
I think it falls on Butch Jones. He lost several games late last year. If he would have won the Florida game, for instance, you know, you let a fourth and, 25 go for a touchdown?
I don't think they were ready.
It all comes back to coaching.
Yeah, I don't think they were ready. Yeah, he had to learn, and he will learn. Okay, so that's what we have in the East. Let's go to the West, and I want to start off with this one. I think we pick up right where we left off last year, actually. I think Auburn is going to be a step ahead of A&M. I think A&M is going to be in the cellar. We're going to have to see what Knight does. Is he going to be the answer at the quarterback? I hear he's a stud. We'll see. Their defense is horrible. You heard it from me first on the first demo episode. That coach, Summerlin, at A&M, he's a great person, but I think he's going to be the downfall of the team. He's a $6 million man, and they're sitting on the bottom of the SEC West. Next, you've got Auburn. I say MSU is going to be a ranked above them. And then the The only reason I'm saying this is because LSU does not have a quarterback. And like I said in the earlier episode, Miles is a circus ride. So I see LSU there. And then the bracket is between the Ole Miss and Alabama at the top. And that's that the X factor there. And like I said, with everything I've ever said, the X factor there is quarterback. Which one has 4,000 plus yards before the season even started from last year as a starter? That would be Chad Kelly. Alabama doesn't even have one coming up. But we shall see. And that's my prediction.
I disagree with you on everything.
Naturally, you would. That's that's the reason we have you here.
No, bottom, I would go State. I'm not trying to hate at all, and that was a rhyme. I didn't mean to do that. No offensive line. You lost all your playmakers. Dak's gone. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be. Whichever one has really no meaningful time versus a meaningful team. Then I'll go Texas A&M because they've recruited better than State. They've got more playmakers than State. Then I would go Auburn. I think they take a step up, but I still think they don't get past 7-8 wins. Above that, I actually agree with Wes on this one. I think it is LSU. Like I said earlier, I think they start off the season on fire. I think they win several games in a row before they hit the meat of their schedule, and that will be, again, their downfall, just like this past year. After that, it's a toss-up between Ole Miss and Alabama. I'm going with Ole Miss for two reasons. One, we play them at home in Oxford. And two, like Wes said, quarterback experience. Bama, you don't know who your quarterback's going to be. Ole Miss has their set. The only worry I have about Ole Miss is your left tackle position. You're going to be starting a true freshman in your third game versus the Tide, which I do believe there would be a top three, if not the top team in the nation when Ole Miss plays them. Should be a heck of a game. There should be a heck of a season. And I hope this show goes on because it's going to be a heck of a ride.
Well, we'll see. Game one, Labor Day, right off the bat, Florida State should be top 10. Ole Miss should be top 15. They play in Orlando, Florida, I believe it is.
Yes, the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, they play at the Orange Bowl, and we'll know right off the bat because both teams, the ACC and the SEC, is going to get tested right off the bat. And I'm going to see – you're going to know a lot about Chad Kelly and company with these 8 4-star receivers and 1 5-star receiver that he's got underneath his belt returning with Evan Engram. And we're going to see – just lights out how this new Hugh Freeze fun and gun system era is working out.
And I'm going to make a fearless prediction for Ole Miss. I think you're going to see a lot more two tight end sets out of Hugh Freeze's offense this year.
That's actually a pretty logical assessment there. I could see that. You know, you could actually see some kind of slot movement. You might even see a fullback or two this year.
We'll see. I mean, this season should be fun. Like, there's a lot of time to talk about it, and we will talk about it. If you haven't looked at the first weekend games of college football, do so. You've got USC, Alabama. You got Ole Miss, FSU. You got Auburn and Clemson, and there are some other ones I know I'm forgetting. But that slate of games is terrific.
Georgia. Ole Miss plays Georgia.
The fourth week.
Yeah, and there's one game in there that Ole Miss plays in It's Georgia Southern. That's going to be a tough game there too, man. They take Georgia to the ropes every year.
Georgia Southern's a good team. We cannot overlook them. I mean, any team cannot overlook Georgia Southern.
Nope.
I think they've pulled off a couple upsets, and Ole Miss is known for being upset by these smaller schools. So we're going to have to, you know, bring our A game to compete or to beat them.
That's it. Well, look, this is our first go at this. It's a demo, like I said.
Maybe first episode.
We'll see. I have no clue, but we've covered what we think we should have covered on the first go. Next go, we're going to cover a little bit of baseball because that's going to be fun.
And basketball. We got basketball in season right now.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Florida, Florida, Ole Miss tonight.
How about y'all hit us up on the Twitter site and Facebook site I mentioned earlier and kind of give us what you want to hear about. Let's get this thing rolling.
Right on, man. Well, I hope you enjoyed it, and y'all take care, okay?
Peace.